I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. It's where we continue our study on our road to the empty tomb. And I want to tell Brother Scott Maness, well, I've got a chance. I haven't met him yet. And so, hello, brother. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to ask them if they would, after the services, to join me in the back so that you can personally shake their hand and speak with them and get to know them a little better. So if you would, during closing prayer, we'll make our way to the back in the lobby. All right? All right. But right now, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. We want to hear from God. And the way we hear from God is from His Word. Would you stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 26, verse 57? And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false witness or false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. The high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He's spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He's deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with their palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who's the one who struck you? What do you think?" Let us pray. Brother Michael, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Holy God, we thank you for the opportunity to read your word. And we pray that as we read your word and consider these words, we would consider Jesus. Consider who he truly is. Father, we pray you open our hearts and minds. Father, we pray, Lord, that
amen. You may be seated. Well, let's start with a question this morning. The question is, do you have an opinion? If you have an opinion, raise your hand. I didn't say about what, I just said an opinion. Y'all are very opinionated. It's all right. What do you think? Well, we could talk politics and I could say, "What do you think of our government?" Honestly, that's not really important. I could say, "What do you think about current events and what's going on in the world?" Not a big deal. Today, I just very simply want you to answer the simple question, "What do you think of Jesus?" Every one of us, before we walk out today, must answer that question. What do you think of Jesus? See, that's what was asked in the text that we read. And the high priest asked the Sanhedrin, "What do you guys think?" The position that they're in at this point, they're desperate. They're looking for lives. And what they really wanted was not the truth. They wanted an excuse. You see, the Sanhedrin that Jesus was standing before was the highest indigenous governing body among the Jews. They were the authority in all religious matters, in all government matters, short of those things that the Roman government took care of. And they have at this point made up their minds. They have decided this Jesus has got to go. Can't have this. They've made up their minds. He has to die. Or they're going to lose control of the people. The only problem is they don't have a case. And so, not having a case, they have to seek false witnesses. Which I find is very interesting in that they're the Sanhedrin. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they are the religious elect and they are seeking false witness. You know, part of the law is thou shalt not bear false witness, right? They are seeking people who will lie, who will do whatever it takes to build a case against Jesus. And even though they're seeking such people who are willing to stand up and lie about Jesus, they can't find any. Well, they can find them, but it takes two witnesses, you know, according to the law. Two witnesses with the same testimony before you can convict someone. And so they could not find two people that would agree. Finally, at last they found two people. Two people who said, this fellow said, Jesus said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Well, that was a lie. That's not what Jesus said. But even that, if you turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 59, we won't turn over there. I'll tell you what it says. It says, even their testimony did not agree. You see, they cannot find two people who will tell the same lie. And I thought how appropriate that is as a reflection of not only what their society was at that time, but what our society is today. Because people are looking for a reason not to believe in Jesus Christ, a reason to reject everything about Christianity. They're looking for a reason, and any lie seems to do. You see, there are those who seek their reason by blaming the church. The old church argument. Listen, I've been a preacher for quite a while now, so I've heard about everything you can hear about the church, right? Well, I'm not going to, I don't do Christianity because the church is filled with hypocrites. Do me a favor, come up with a new one. That's so old, it just. Everybody here will admit we're all sinners saved by grace, right? Amen. And we all have a ways to go in our walk with God. So don't pretend like you're better than everybody else because you can stand back and say they claim Christianity, but they sin. Yes, they do. The difference between them and you is you don't claim anything and you sin. Don't think that you get a free pass by pointing a finger at the hypocrites in the church or all they care about is money. Have you ever heard that one? I'm not going to church. All they care about is money. Obviously, you care about it more than they do. You brought it up, right? They judge me. It's a big show. It's too political. And you can go down the list, goes on and on. And you know, and what they're looking for is a reason not to pursue Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, don't believe your lies. Don't believe the lies of society. I've heard people say, it's too late for me. I've been too bad. You don't know my sin, Brother Doug. I want to tell you something. I don't need to know your sin. I don't care your sin. I care what your sin was. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us from all unrighteousness. Okay? You have not been too bad to be saved. Do not believe that lie. One of my favorites I'll have to give up too much fun. See, I'll have to change if I confess Jesus Christ and give up all the fun things that I do and become this old Bible thumper. Really? You're going to say giving up things like alcoholism, drug addiction is fun? Listen, I know what I did last night. Do you? I remember it all. What I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, I'm really not. But listen, there are so many lies out there that, and especially in today's world, there are lies that say, oh no, Jesus is not what you need. You need friends. You need education. You need to be a part of the crowd. No, it's lies. See, the bottom line is you're going to have to decide what do you think about Jesus, and you're going to have to act upon that. And before you make that judgment and before you take action, I want to share with you a truth, okay? And that truth is a truth under oath. Within the hearing of God Himself. I find it interesting. As I said, they can't find two people that will tell the same lie. Should give us a lesson about lies. Lies don't work, right? Okay? And so they can't find two people that's going to tell the same lie. So they come back and look at Jesus, and they call upon the only witness that they could trust to tell the truth. And so far, their case has been blown. If something's not done, Jesus is going to walk from this trial, or this mock of a trial. And so they seek testimony from Jesus Himself. Isn't that kind of wild? They can't build a case, so the high priest turns to Jesus and he says, I put you under oath of the living God. You tell us, are you the Christ? Wow. If Jesus says no, of course he denies himself and he's sinned. If Jesus, why Jesus starts to speak at this point, he's testifying under oath of God his Father. If he says nothing, that's the equivalent of denying who he is. So the high priest turns, you under oath, you tell us, are you the Christ? And what do you think Jesus says? Jesus says, it is as you've said. To put it in our language, Jesus responded, you betcha. Yes, I am. And not only am I the Christ, am I the Son of God, but you shall see me sitting at the right hand of power. Who's that? God the Father. You realize that's where Jesus is seated today, right? According to the Word of God. He's seated there today. Said, you will see him sitting at the right hand of power. I want to tell you, O Caiaphas and the folks on this Sanhedrin, they will stand in judgment before Jesus Christ. Okay? And you will too. Not only will you see him sitting in the right hand at the right hand of power, but you'll see him coming again. See, I think that's something we've gotten away from today. When I was a kid, preachers would always, every message it seemed like they'd throw them Jesus is coming back thing in there. Don't seem to be thrown in that often anymore. Maybe I'm guilty of it, but I want you to know for certainty that Jesus Christ is coming back. You may say, now, Brother Doug, they've been preaching that for 2,000 years. 2,000 years is not very long. Huh? It's really not. If you believe in, which I believe that the earth is 6,000 years old, and I believe in the younger earth concept, 2,000 years, if you believe it's 6,000 years old, is not very long. If you... I'm not even going to say the billions of years because I just can't even get there, okay? But You've got to know. You've got to know the truth. You can have all the religion you want. You can have all the politics you want. You can have all the lies and cover up and try to justify who you are and what you are that you want to come up with. But I want you to know this truth. It is appointed unto man once to die. Guess who that applies to? Everybody here. We're all going to die. We will close our eyes on this earth and we will open our eyes in eternity. Okay? Therefore, we will all stand in judgment. There are two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ. That's where those who place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ will stand before Jesus to give an account of the life that we've lived here on this earth. Then there's the great white throne judgment. That's the one you don't want. That's for the rejectors, those, and you can read about it in the book of Revelation, those who have taken Jesus and rejected who He was. You're going to stand and the books will be open. First book, the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not there. Okay, so you're not going to make it to heaven based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's lay that book aside. Let's look at the book of your works of this life. Because there are a lot of people in this world who think, I'm good enough to get to heaven. Let's open the book. Oh, you raised money for the American Cancer Society. Good job. Oh, you were a volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club. Good job. And I'm not making fun of these social organizations, okay? Please do not take that as such. Great organizations. But you see, there are so many people that think that sort of life paves their highway to heaven, and it does not. That's a lie. Okay? Yes, you can raise money for the Cancer Society. You can be a part of the influencing the lives of young people through the Boys and Girls Club and the Kiwanis and the Lions and all that. That's really good, but do not think that's going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And that's the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He came to this earth and He died for your sin. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yes, you are. We all are. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm a good person. You may be, according to man's standard. But God's standard is perfection. Sinless perfection. Well, Brother Doug, I made some mistakes in the past. You know, back there in my past, we all have things back there that we aren't proud of, but I'm better now. What about those things in your past? What have you done about them? You see, the only way, once you become a transgressor of the laws of God, you are guilty before God, and the only way to get that sin taken care of is through the blood of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed Himself so that you could have eternal life. I want you to hear the truth. You've got to deal with Jesus and who He is. The Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, the coming King. Now what are you going to do with Him? You've heard the truth. What they did, they rejected. And I want to tell you something. You and I can sit down and visit. You can look me in the eye and you say, Brother Doug, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And I can smile at you and say, okay, and we can shake hands and go our different ways. Next time I see you on the street, we'll greet again and be courteous and kind to one another and even have a friendship. But have you ever noticed that people can't seem to do that with religious matters? In this, Jesus says who He is. And the attack immediately starts. And it's brutal. They accuse Jesus, first of all, the high priest rips his clothes. He becomes violent. He rips his clothes and he says, y'all have heard it. You've heard this blasphemy. And he turns to the rest of the court and says, y'all have heard it. What do you think? What do you think? And then they began to shout out, "He's deserving of death." And then it just, the rage spreads over the entire crowd and they begin to spit in his face. And then they blindfold him and they begin to beat him with his hand, with their hands and their fists. And they mock Jesus after they strike him. And they back up and say, "You prophesy to us. Who was it that struck you?" You see, it's more than a simple rejection. It's an attack, an attempt to destroy the truth. You ever wonder why people respond the way they do to Christianity? You want to make somebody mad, talk to an atheist about Jesus. He'll be mad before you're done, I promise you. He'll call you all kinds of names and you're uneducated and you know the list goes on and on. You want to make somebody mad, condemn a lifestyle. Have you? The world, it's funny how the news media baits people. They'll pick the hottest topics and say, "What do you think about this topic?" Knowing, for example, homosexuality. Listen, we have a responsibility to share the truth with those who are homosexuals. All right. Never let be confused. Never be confused and think that because we share the truth, we don't love you. We love you enough to tell you the truth. Okay. But have you ever noticed they'll ask, "What do you think about homosexuality?" And they're waiting for that person to say, "Well, I think it's a sin." And once that person thinks it's a sin, he's attacked from every direction. If he's in public office, people will call for his resignation. If he's a public figure, you know, if he's on TV and like a sportscaster or whatever, they'll call for his resignation and they'll go out in a violent attack. Why? Because they can't entertain the thought that they're wrong. Now, all of us love to be told we're wrong, don't we? I live for such a moment. "No, Brother Doug, you're wrong." "No, I'm not. I'll tell you what. I'll prove to you I'm right." I'm not wrong. Listen, the reason it's so hard is because when you're told you're wrong, something inside just begins to bubble. Guys, you don't believe me? Tell your wife she's wrong. And watch her countenance immediately change. I mean, it's like turning on the light. But it goes the other way, doesn't it, ladies? It goes both ways. That's the way it is with the world when they come face to face with Jesus and realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one name among heaven, given among men, whereby men must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. Every religion will not do. Your religion is not as good as everybody else's religion. No, there's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus? You see, you've got to make your decision. And you're going to do that today. It's either going to be a rejection or it's going to be a reception of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, you're sitting here. And when you hear the Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," the first response is, "Y'all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No, it's not y'all. It's you. It's personal. It's me. As an individual. You see, you've got to see the beauty of the story. The beauty of what Jesus came to do. You look at our history, the history of mankind. We don't have a real good history, do we? We have a history of sin, corruption, degradation, immorality. Today we have a lot of different ideas. Some ideas are that, boy, what we need in society is a better education system. Because education is the key to success. And I'm going to tell you, education is a great thing. It is. Get all the education you can get, all right? It's a good thing. But education will not change your heart. Okay? Oh, we need programs. We need more youth programs. Youth programs are great. Yeah? But youth programs don't change heart. And you can come up with whatever lie you want to come up with, but the bottom line is what this country needs is Jesus Christ. Okay? It's what we need. And we've got to be honest with who we are and what we are. And when we realize our sinful depravity, then we look back at Jesus and we look at this. He went through this mockery of a trial for you and for me. Because He loved it. Because He cared. I'm reminded of the Lord's Supper. When He instituted the Lord's Supper. Remember what He said? He took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is given for you." Then He took this, and then He took the cup. He said, "Take this, drink you all of it." And they took it and they drank it. He said, "This is My blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." I want you to understand He did it for you. It's all about you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He has said, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Very simple. I want to tell you something. You're going to walk out of here trusting in something. Okay? You're going to walk out of here knowing that when you die, you're trusting in something. If you're an atheist, listen, I love you. I care about you. Not even going to argue with you. But when you walk out of here, you're trusting that when you die, it's all over. That there is nothing after the grave. I believe with all my heart that you have bought into a lie. Because I can look outside and I see the beauty of creation. And I see the complexity of creation and this idea that the earth has evolved over millions of years. It just seems so, it is far-fetched. It takes way more faith to believe that there is nothing after death than it does to believe that God created the heavens and the earth and we have eternal, after we die, we face eternity. That doesn't take a lot of faith to me because I look outside and I see the hand, I see creation that declares the awesome power of God. You may be here today, you may be one of those that you're a one-a-dayer. Or one-dayer. One of these days when I get my life straightened up. It's never going to happen. Alright? Now, you're not going to do it. Why? Because you don't have that power. Only one thing can straighten your life up, and that's Jesus Christ. You may be here today, and you've been thinking about one of these days. It's going to be soon, Brother Doug, but not today. I want to put you in the position. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to give you this, and then I'm probably going to be quiet. I said probably. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way to heaven. According to the Word of God, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you decide. What do you think? What are you going to do with Jesus, our Father in heaven? Oh, we thank you for your Son who gave His life for our sins. We thank you for the love that it took for Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary. And Father, there is one thing that I know. I cannot change a heart. I can only present the truth of your word. So now I pray that you would take your word and that you would surgically apply it to every heart that is present as is needed. I pray that today, those in this service, all those in this service who are lost will be saved. I pray that the saved, Lord, will be reminded at the great love in which You shone for them and be drawn to You. I pray that every spiritual need will be addressed and answered. by our submissive surrender to You. Now in this invitation we pray, Your will be done. In Jesus' name.